Welcome to MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui, your expert host on all things medical marketing and SEO.
Well, welcome today to our next episode of MedShark Insider. And I'm really happy to have our guest today because she actually addresses a lot of the things us marketers want to have done in our practices, because we get held accountable for all the business that comes into the practice because of all the marketing dollars that they're spending. But we all recognize that there is a lot that happens from the time somebody views a website or even fills out a form or picks up the phone and calls to the time they're having surgery. But we get, you know, held accountable for how much revenue comes as a result of the marketing and what kind of ROI we're getting. But I think the most important part of that is, you know, lead generation is always the easiest thing you can do. I've been in marketing for 25 years, and it's the easiest thing to do. Today, I've got Ashley Cloud, who is one of the, you know, industry's premier consultants, practice management consultants, who actually goes into practices, has been in practices herself. So she has a lot of track record and hands-on experience of doing a lot of these things that we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Ashley. Thank you for joining us today, Ashley.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. And we go back a few years in the, you know, digital marketing and going to the plastic surgery meetings stuff. Let's go ahead and start off. You know, I get, and I'm going to start from me because I get a lot of questions from practices that are struggling a little bit. And I look at lead generation and stuff like that. And I'm asking them, how many phone calls do you generate from your marketing in a given month? And they'll tell me, and I said, and how many of those actually turn into scheduled patients or actually surgical patients? And they really don't know. So, you know, I'd like to maybe talk about, you know, that intake process and really kind of understand what goes on with that, you know, first call, because I don't always know that, you know, the people that are answering the phone really understand the value of those phone calls, and because they're in the middle of doing all these other things.
Right.
How do you consult with those practices when it comes to the, you know, to understanding the importance and of that first call?
Well, so thanks for having me here. I, you know, one of the biggest secrets, I guess, or the missed opportunity of any plastic surgery, aesthetic practice, dermatology, cosmetic dentistry, you name it. But one of the biggest misses that we see that practices do is, like you said, underestimating the importance of that first phone call. You mentioned that practices spend tons of money to get the phone to ring, only to, what I see a lot of times, have the patient just, if the phone rang, the patient came, you guys did your job very, very well. But the staff, again, like you said, not realizing the importance of that first phone call, lets the patient go. And usually I see it being almost like a one-dimensional. Patients are shopping. And we know that they're calling around asking pretty much the same thing. Do you do it? What does it cost? And we know it used to be the yellow pages. I'm showing my age. But now it's, you know, page one, Google, or, you know, whatever it is that they're going through. And they are calling everybody. So I think one of the first things is I always tell people our practices, don't assume that they're only calling you in the first place. I mean, I think we have to go into it with that foundation. When you're answering the phone, you really need to make sure that you know that they probably just called Dr. X down the road and Dr. Y, you know, and now with virtual, with Zoom and the pandemic and everything that's happening, you know, the space has gotten much bigger for patients. You know, I've got practices all over the country that are hearing more than ever from practices or from patients from all over the country. So yeah. And, you know, I think that it's going to probably stay that way. I mean, I don't think we're going to be going back to just having inside consultations in the office. So, but that being said, one of the things that we see is that, like you said, practices don't really, and I don't think it's that they don't want to engage with the patient, and they don't, I think it's really just that they don't know how, you know, and so we could go deep into sales philosophy and training and everything else. You know, they're not comfortable asking for the sale or asking for the appointment in this case, when the patient first calls in, and just a lot of different things, you know, with that happen with that. There are certain things that we know that raise conversion rates pretty significantly. I would even go as far as to say massively, if certain things are covered or touched on that first phone call.
Okay. Well, give me those trade secrets.
I will give you the trade secrets. So, okay. You know, first thing we know, and I've got a whole series that's going to be coming out, is called the I Know You Experience. Okay. Whenever I'm talking or training with practices, I like to use a lot of the examples of just regular general consumers, because we know that the aesthetic patient does not have to come to us because of, you know, disease, trauma, deformity, insurance is making them come to us, you know, so they do have a choice of where they're going to go, and they are shopping. We know they're shopping. So when I do secret shoppers, I've been doing tons of secret shoppers for 20 years now. When I do them and I hear people say, you know, they hang up the phone and they're like, oh, that was a shopper. I want to scream, you know, yes, 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 it was a shopper for sure. You know? And so we know they're shopping. We know they're demonstrating more consumer behaviors than they are actual patient behaviors. And so, you know, keeping that in mind, we need to move forward with that philosophy. How do we do that? I call it the I Know You Experience. And if you think about just consumers in general, so you and I both live here in the Denver area, mm-hmm. and I've got a place that my husband and I go to every Saturday morning. Well, we used to before everything shut down again, but a restaurant that we go to every Saturday morning. I'm one that gets the exact same thing every time. I'm not fun. I'm not, you know, whatever you want to call it, but I get
my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband tries something different every time, and then he doesn't like it half the time. And I'm like, well, because you try something different, the things you like, you don't try again. So anyway, but we go in now, and we, you know, one of the reasons we keep going back to this restaurant on Saturday mornings is because they, you know, we've gotten to know the wait staff, and we've gotten to know, you know, I guess we're kind of considered regulars, if you want to call it that. And to be honest, I feel so special, and this sounds so whatever, but I feel so special when I go in and the waitress is like, you still want the, you know, ranchero egg wrap? And I'm like, yes, I do, you know? And so it just has that I Know You kind of feeling that keeps us coming back. Again, I'm the one that does the same thing every single time, but they also know that my husband, they're like, what are you going to try this week? You know? And so taking that same philosophy into the call that's coming in, and even throughout the whole thread of the patient journey with us at every different stage, you know, patients are looking for that I Know You Experience. Now, the first thing that I always get when I'm doing training is, well, how can we know them when they're just calling in asking, do you do it? What does it cost? You know, and I'm like, well, that's where you have to start the conversation. In the first place, we know that they're shopping. So you kind of already have a little bit of knowledge, right? In the second place, we're asking them questions. We're having a conversation. We're not just answering all of their questions that they have for us. And we're actually, you know, leading the call and having a conversation with the patient, figuring mm-hmm. out what their needs are, what their wants are, what their concerns are. And then, you know, just putting it all together. I'm a big proponent of having they've been called telephone intake records, patient call logs, patient call records, whatever it is that you want to call it. And writing down instead of typing in, you know, and again, going back to all the secret shoppers that I've done. And I will tell you this also, we have a lot of patient focus groups that we do. And when we've been told pretty much in every single focus group that when they hear somebody in the background typing, you know, they're typing away on yeah. the computer, when they're asking them questions, they feel like they're calling the DMV, yeah. you know, the Department of Motor Vehicles. And they're just like, name. And you know what I mean? So, you know, it's really just being present. We hear being present all the time across any industry, but it's true, being present and being there for the patient, not not just answering their questions, but providing information to them as well.
You know, you talked about, you used the word experience, patient experience kind of stuff, and, you know, going to the restaurant. I absolutely agree with you that people have already formulated an expectation when they hit the send button or the call button on their cell phone and they're calling you, they already have it in their mind what's going to happen in this call. Yeah. They already are formulating their questions in their head, waiting for somebody to give it to.
Okay? Right.
They already have that. And I agree with you. I think the things that can really help separate you from those other calls or call, you know, intake, you know, experiences is you got to do something to interrupt the experience. You got to change what their expectations were. So it isn't just, do you do breast augmentation? Do you do, you know, congeal implants? How much do you charge? Is there a difference in price? And then get off the phone. That's what they're expecting.
Right. Okay?
That's what they're expecting. But when they get off of the phone and have a great experience with somebody who really knows what they're doing, you get off the phone and they have this one of those, wow, that's not what I expected. You know,
right.
That's not what I expected, but in a very good way.
You know?
And I think that's, you know, what you're talking about is that experience, you know,
right.
And setting the tone, even on that first call.
Right, right. So some of the things that I talk about when I'm doing training with practices, especially on that first phone call. And by the way, I usually spend, like, if I go on site to do like a practice evaluation or a training, in those training days, I literally spend almost a whole half a day, the whole morning, just on the first phone call. It is literally that important. And I have physicians, doctors tell me all the time, you know, well, you know, they're going to come in because of me and my expertise and my, you know, but they have to get there first, you know, and to be honest with you, most doctors, and you said this at the beginning, don't even know how many calls are coming in, how many leads are coming in. And so, you know, that's a whole nother bucket of talking about, you know, looking at conversion rates and data and all of that kind of stuff. But we do know that there are key elements that need to happen at a first phone call, that, you know, the first of which is going to be, you know, just asking their name and not asking their first and last name, like they're calling the DMV, like we talked about. You know, so we want to have a conversation. This isn't just one dimensional. We want to be able to tell, you know, the patients, we want them to feel not just the I know you that we were talking about, but also as you would talk to a friend, you know, and that sounds so elementary and so basic, but you would be so surprised at how many practices that I call that we literally just answer my questions and hang up the phone. And that's a lost lead as far as I'm concerned, because that's not who I'm going to be going to when it comes time for me to make my decisions. Right. So just having that warmth, you know, somebody calls in and you're just like, you know, if they say, like you said, do you do breast augmentation? You know, absolutely. We do breast augmentation. Do you mind if I get your name? Okay, Ashley, you know, and then just keep using the name authentically. You don't want to be like, so Ashley, tell me this. Well, Bill, you know, you want to be very authentic with it, but use the name often. And as far as we're talking about names, I say use everybody else's name on your team, because you really want to show that team mentality that we have as a group within the office. So, you know, we've always talked about, in most practices, probably have heard the importance of passing the baton. You know, if we're passing it, maybe the receptionist answers and we want to get the caller over to the patient coordinator. You know, it's so important to say, oh, that's great. You need to speak with Susie, our patient coordinator. Do you mind if I place you on hold? Mm-hmm. And then this is where the I know you experience starts coming in. Susie, the patient coordinator, then should pick up the phone and say, you know, well, actually the receptionist needs to say, hey, I've got Bill on the phone. He's interested in a, you know, I'm just throwing something out. You've got beautiful
eyes. I need it all. I need it all, baby.
And next procedure. And, you know, he's thinking about having surgery, you know, whatever kind of little conversation that you guys had. Yeah. Then Susie should pick up the phone and say, hey, Bill, you know, Ashley tells me that you're interested in X procedure and, you know, I'm very happy to help you. You know, do you have any specific questions? Just kind of getting the ball rolling and kind of going from there. So passing of the baton is very, very important. The other thing I see a lot of times on secret shoppers that I do is, you know, if it's a male physician, there's a lot of he'll meet with you or the doctor will meet with you or a lot of third party, you know, pronouns and everything else. And really we, again, need to start and using patients.
It's almost kind of like a God complex kind of thing. They're up there.
Right. Right. So using their name a lot, you know, like Dr. Wonderful, you know, is, and, you know, we of course talk about promoting, the physician, you know, doctor, he's so great. He does, you know, we were talking about breast augmentation earlier, you know, he last year did 250 breast augmentations or he does 10 breast augmentations a week. You know what I mean? And, the cool thing, the funny thing about that is when you can give specific information, so you're not just giving, the features, but you're giving that information, the patient's like, oh, I didn't know that I could ask that. So right. Then when they start calling people after you, they're throwing people off. Most don't know their numbers. We said that, you know? So, So, you know, characteristics of the best of a good first phone call, warmth, engagement, you know, using everybody's names, using the patient's name, being very authentic. So that helps build that rapport. And then not having to make the patient repeat themselves repeatedly, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've done a secret shopper call and I've just done, you know, do you do
same thing three times.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, let me put you over to our patient coordinator. And then you get to the patient coordinator and they're like, how can I help you? And you're like, do you do rhinoplasty? And then it gets worse. They actually show up for the appointment to consultation and they've got to fill out paperwork that says, what are you here for today? You know, and they write down rhinoplasty. You know, I already told you that I made an appointment for, they don't say that, but that's what they're thinking. Yeah. Then they get groomed by the MA or the nurse or whoever, and they can be the nicest thing, you know, but they're like, so what are you here for today? And then the doctor, God love him, comes in and is trying to be nice. And he's like, so what are we talking about today? And it's just like, and this is another thing we hear in the patient focus groups that we do. They're just like having to repeat myself, which really goes against that I know you experience that we're talking about, because they should never, I mean, they tell us one time and that should be it. No. We need to have a protocol or a method to record that and to, you know, to be able to use it and over and over again. So there's that I know you, there's also letting the patient know, you know, I think on the first phone call, and this kind of gels into the consultation and it raises, so everything that we're talking about now, the first phone call raises the conversion rate as far as the patient making an appointment and as far as the patient actually showing up. Because just because the patient makes an appointment doesn't mean they're going to show up, you know. Right. But it also increases their same day scheduling rate when they actually come into consultation. If we're educating them on the procedure itself, you know, a tummy tuck, for instance, I was doing a practice evaluation at a practice up in New York, and this lady came in and she had plenty of money. Money was not an issue. She was very excited. She knew she wanted to go ahead and go with that doctor because all of her friends gone with the doctor. But then when she found out that the scar was, you know, for a tummy tuck is pretty significant. It's from hip bone to hip bone, which most, you know, it's beneath the bikini area and everything else. So you can't really tell it, but some people, you know, freak out over that. She apparently thought that you could do a tummy tuck laparoscopically.
Oh, okay.
So when she came in, you know, we'd already talked about money on the phone. We talked about, you know, everything else on the phone, downtime and everything else, but the scar was a deal breaker. Yeah. So, you know, we really want to make sure that we're going over everything that could be an objection when the patient shows up for consultation. And by objection, I always say, I don't mean I object, you know, but if they don't purchase, there's some kind of an objection. You know, the top three that I can think of off the top of my head that we've all heard is, I need to get my finances in order or figure out, you know, I need to go home and talk to my husband or my wife. And then I need to figure out a work schedule, you know? So knowing those are the top three objections, why not go ahead and cover those on the first phone call, you know?
Hey, you know, good question. And I see this not, I don't hear it as much in the plastic surgery arena, but I hear it in the dentistry as well as the ophthalmology and the LASIK, because those are elective, just like, you know, just like having breast augmentation.
Right.
But it's fear. Fear of pain, fear of, you know, the outcomes, you know, these are my eyes or whatever. Right. I think there is a certain fear factor that, you know, I think just me personally, I think a lot of practices are afraid of dealing with. Or really don't bring it up or wait for the patient to bring it up.
Right. Do
you recommend anything in terms of any anxieties? Because I'll tell you what, anytime you're asking or talking to a patient with their surgical gown on, we're all ready to go, and you ask them, are you a little nervous? They're going, oh, yeah, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
You know? So
well,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying a minute ago, that they are demonstrating more consumer behaviors than patient behaviors, but I didn't say all the way up until it's time to schedule. Then, you know, you start hearing, then you're walking through a checkout at the grocery store and you see Star Magazine, plastic surgery gone bad, or, you know, so-and-so lost their teeth because of, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's when they definitely start bringing in more of those, you know, patient behaviors or patient, they're no longer a shopper. Now they're a patient and now they you know. So that definitely, and there's ways to mitigate that for sure. One is just having that relationship built from the very first phone call, you know, that's just going to be a thread again throughout their whole journey with us. And by the way, we're talking for surgeries more, but really and honestly, this is for anything that is going to have any kind of a downtime or lasting, you know what I mean? So even in the med spas and stuff, you know, I mean, I've seen, I know a friend personally that went and just had like, I'm not exactly sure what she had done, but it was some kind of a chemical something, in our hometown in Georgia. And I mean, she's scarred, you know, that was a med spa, you know? And so definitely, you know, anything, I mean, this is applicable to everybody as being, or all industries is being, you know, very open, very having the lines of communication, always letting them know the next step.
How about pricing? You know, we know that everybody calls when they're shopping, asking for pricing.
Yeah.
What's your recommendations when practices say, well, we don't give prices over the phone, or I give ranges, or I give, you know, I'm not the cheapest guy in town and I don't want, you know, I use it as a filtering way of filtering only good patients, whatever that may be.
Right.
What do you recommend in terms of for the vast majority of practices who aren't scheduling out 3 months,
right? You know,
so they need new patients,
right?
You know, where's that fall?
Yeah, I always recommend giving prices. It can be a price range. That's fine. Right. But always give prices, because here's the thing, we know the patient is calling everybody, you know. Now, if you have a full schedule, you're booked 3 months out, you know, like you said, you can get away with doing that.
Yeah.
But I think that the patient, so a couple of things, when I talk to doctors, one of their biggest gripes is having a patient come in, they're spending an hour with them or whatever, and then the patient leaves and doesn't buy, you know? And so we know that the higher the same day, and this is statistically, the higher the same day scheduling rate, meaning the patient comes to consultation and schedules that day, the higher their overall scheduling rate is going to be. Wow. So that's very, very huge correlation between those two. If the patient doesn't know at least a range when they come in, that's, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot as a practice. So you have to give that. And here's the other thing. I say give it to them even if they don't ask.
That's not a bad idea. I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just say, and you can lead into it with all kinds of different ways. You know, are you familiar with pricing on this? You know, do you have any questions about pricing? Because the other thing is, if you can lead into them, like if you do, which most practices do, care credit, or, you know, I don't even know all the ones that are out there now, but if you have a financing program, and if you tell, so I've got two things to say, actually. So the first one is, if you have a financing program and you, you know, tell the patient, you're looking at about $10,000 for a tummy tuck, and then you hear crickets on the other end, you know, say, you know, is that about what you were expecting? You know, we have to ask questions to figure out what the patient, what's going on inside their head, right? Yeah. And so if they say, well, that's more expensive, or even worse, if they just come out and say, oh gosh, well, Dr. X down the road is like half the price, you know? So now we know that's good. We've got an objection. If we don't have objections, I'd rather have objections than not have any at all. You don't have any at all. You're a lame duck, you know, in water. You're not able to overcome the objections. Mm-hmm. So I always say, just ask, you know, we do have financing available, and a lot of our patients, it's that whole feel, felt, found philosophy. A lot of our patients, you know, go ahead and get approved before they even come in, to the practice. So that way they've got that behind them, and they don't have to worry about any of that at consultation. You know, is that something you'd be interested in? I'd be happy to send you some information. Right. The second thing that we hear, and this is funny, that we hear in patient focus groups is, when they're actually sitting in front of you, like across the desk from the coordinator that's giving them the pricing or whatever, and we go, you know, would you like information on financing? They kind of have this, they sit back and they're like, what, do I look like I need financing?
Do I look like I need this?
Yeah. So if you go ahead and get it out of the way on the first phone call, you know, and if you have other questions, we can talk about it, or you can call me back, you know, whatever it is. That you have. So I always say, absolutely, offer pricing, even if they don't.
I love the idea that you even said, you know, offer it even if they didn't ask, because some patients, they're almost a little reluctant to ask because they don't want to sound cheap, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't call a plastic surgery office and, you know, I obviously want to feel like I can afford it. So I don't ask, you know, and some people never do. And then, but yet they have this expectation that we didn't meet and we don't know why.
Right. Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. What about, you know, you talked about, you know, no-shows earlier.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned no-shows. I get practices that do say that they have, you know, no-show rates, and they charge fees for consultations and stuff like that to kind of elevate the conversions. What's your take on what's the best way to minimize those no-show rates? But at the same time, I don't want to create a barrier for people to come in and, you know, and meet with us, because I want at-bats. I want our team, I want our doctor to have at-bats. Where's the sweet spot for that?
Right. So I am not a proponent of consultation fees. And the reason for that is the data just does not show us that it helps at all. You know, you may, what we see when we have consultation fees are less people that come actually to the practice, less people that make appointments. Again, go back to remember what we were saying. Patients are on Google and they're calling every single person that's on there. So, you know, if five other people, you know, in your market or most other people do not charge, the chances of them coming to you are very, very slim. Mm-hmm. You know, unless they've got some, like a big hook, and a hook meaning maybe they've got, you know, five friends that have gone and had the exact same procedure and she loves all of them and everything else. But, you know, it's funny, even then, we know, like used to, and you know this better than I do, but used to, when somebody was referred by friend or family, that was pretty much, you know, oh, yeah, a done deal. And especially in cosmetic, with cosmetic procedures, used to, they would, you know, nobody really talked about it. You know, no, I just have been refreshed. You know what I mean? When they've had a facelift or you know what I'm saying? Now everybody's talking about it. So the chances that one person knows several people that have had the same procedure they're looking for, and not only that, by several different doctors, you know, so again, it's getting really more competitive within our, you know, our industry, with that happening. But to go back to, I just totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
On the no-show stuff, what would you say strategies? Yeah. What would you say is the, like, if you had a go-to thing, or what can practices, if there was one or a handful of things, what would you say, do these things and you will have better no-show rates?
So I would say, for sure, we need to talk about it with the patient on that first phone call. We need to, you know, and let them know we're going to be calling, you know, a week in advance or 2 days in advance or whatever. I like 2 days in advance, but if we're way out, you know, we're 3 months out before we can even get them in, or even 6 weeks out, then we need to do more reminders. But the one of the things that I see is always having the next steps outlined for the patient. And that's at every stage of their journey, the inquiry, the appointment, the consultation, the surgery scheduled. Let them know what's going to happen next, and especially in follow-ups too. So that way they know and they're expecting you to call. The other thing that I would say is, have the coordinator, whoever spoke with them. So if you have a designated patient coordinator, be the ones that actually make that phone call. The confirmation call needs to be not just, hey, it's Ashley, calling to remind you your appointment with Dr. Wonderful tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. See them, bye. You know, there's a lot of nice people out there. Nice doesn't get it anymore. You know, we have to really be building those relationships. So let that confirmation call be just another step, another conversation. You know, we're so excited to meet you. You know, remind them what's going to be happening. You know, if it's a rhinoplasty, you know, when you come in, you're going to meet with Dr. Wonderful and his nurse, Sarah, and, you know, and then we're going to do all kinds of fun stuff. It's going to, you know, we're going to do like imaging and show you what your nose can look like afterwards. Or, you know, if it's breast augmentation, we're going to try on implants. You know, you really want to get that excitement going again. When patients are reaching out to us, they have a need like right then. Right. But then if they make an appointment, and it's, you know, a week down the road or a month away or something, things can change, you know, things change in people's lives, period. But, you know, they may lose that ump. You know, I always say it's like the beginning of every year, everybody's going to lose weight, you know, and it's kind of the same. They decide that they want
to. Every year I lose.
Me too.
If I did that, I'd be down to nothing.
Right? Yeah. But they get really, you know, pumped up when they're calling everybody and when they're talking to everybody, but then, you know, it can kind of maybe go away a little bit. So we need to really keep them engaged. You know, a lot of times I say, if you have things like, which a lot of practices do now, and if you don't, they need to. But we, you know, if they've got a video that the provider did on that specific, you have to be relevant to the patient. You know, you don't want to send, I say the same thing with testimonials. You don't want to send testimonials. A 60-year-old facelift could care less about an 18-year-old breast augmentation, you know, and how great she thought the doctor was, you know what I mean? So we really need to be relevant and send testimonials that are very personalized to that patient. You know, what are their concerns and what are they talking to us about and coming to us for? That's what we need to focus on. So if you can do that, especially if there is a long wait, you know, now if you can get somebody in tomorrow or, you know, 2 days or even the same week, then I wouldn't worry about it. But, you know, even then, though, it couldn't hurt because you're getting them in that buying frame of mind. You know, that's why we always recommend when the patient does get their consult, and I know I'm kind of going off topic a little bit, but to have the books in the reception area. And it's not a waiting room. It's a reception mm-hmm. area. We're not making them wait. We're receiving them.
Yes, exactly.
But that,
one of the things that you did mention, and I get this from a lot of practices, they never think about it in terms of when they're building their websites or, you know, once they build a website, a lot of times they think, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. My website's done. And now it's up to you guys to get all this business to it. Well, a website, in many times, you know, I'm asking practices when I'm doing the intake, you know, when I'm checking the intake or following up with them. One of the things I find is that they don't send prospective prospect, you know, patients. They'll send them an email, but they never send links to the website or assets within the website.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's a breast augmentation patient that called up and they're asking for pricing, so you already know what's going through their head and you can talk right. about financing, but it would be great when they get your email, your follow-up email with a link to a really good financing page.
Yeah.
And don't just hope people stumble on that page, but there are certain pages I'd say to practices, you got to think about what can you arm your intake sales team with?
Yeah.
What would be helpful for them? Would a page on what to expect during your consultation be a good page to have mm-hmm. after you've had the conversation and I could link to it, you know, send them in the email and they'll know, and I'll guarantee you, they'll still click on it and read through it.
Right.
It validates a lot of the stuff that you just said, but it cements it that they feel more comfortable doing this, and you build those types of pages where it becomes something that they want.
Yeah.
But make it something that they want.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that it does, that would do a couple of things. One, it would position the, you know, the provider and the practice as experts, right? If they can mm-hmm. go and videos and look at, you know, hear about, you know, what's going to happen, like you said, at your consultation or anything like that. Again, being very specific. So they're not just having to go through, I'm looking at my computer over here, but they're not on a website, you know, that says, you know, we do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And here's a general thought of, you know, what's going to happen, but get very specific. I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think patients would, I always say, don't send patients as homework, but as a, you know, to the website as homework, you know, like, I'm not going to tell you everything, go figure it out. And if you figure it out, give us a call back. But I think that that's tremendously valuable. What
I
you're saying.
The other thing too, is when you're, you know, you said that people are shopping all the time. I know when people do that, they'll send out 5 emails or they'll send out chats or whatever. And then they get back to their email, and now they've got 6 or 7 emails all in there from all these different practices, and they can't remember any of them who's who. All they see are these emails.
Right.
And so as they're clicking through, it's just text. It's just text.
Yeah.
And there's no connection, this message and Ashley's name with XYZ practice. But if you could connect the two, now all of a sudden that message has more rapport building capabilities, and all this money you're putting into branding a website and all these months that it took you to build this, what is your virtual you, you never send them back there.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity for you to cement that, you know, that brand in their mind,
mm-hmm.
Not just over the phone, but even in your follow-up. I think the follow-up stuff you kind of mentioned to make sure that you're getting, you know, low no-show rates.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's absolutely, you got to have that follow-up.
I agree. No, I totally agree with that. And I think that having those pages, you know, just keeping the patient interested, mm-hmm. And having those pages. And then at the confirmation call, you know, again, it doesn't need to be just, you know, here's your appointment at this day and this time and see you later. Bye-bye. They need to remind them, have you had a chance to go to our website? Have you, you know, and look at the video and, you know, I would even say, and this really gets more into what you guys do, but I would even say, when we talk about being very relevant to what the patient wants, to have pages that are specific, and I don't know how that would happen, that's you, but patients that are specific to, hey, here's what's going to happen at a breast augmentation. Here's a bit of what's going to happen.
And, again, if you're going to say, we're going to check your sizes, we're going to check this, you can't have that on every page, every procedure. So I don't say you have to have it for every procedure, but absolutely for your bread and butter, your high priority stuff, you create them. You don't have to have everything for everybody, but make sure that you have the stuff for the ones you want, the kind of patients that you want.
And we talk about the Pareto principle, and I never know if I'm saying that right, but the 80-20 principle.
Yep.
And I always tell practices, statistically, unless you're just really kind of all over the place, but especially established practices, they start getting, you know, very niche into like five or so procedures. Usually what we see is your top five procedures are driving 80% of your revenue and 80% of your calls that are coming in and 80% of the patients that you're going to see. Right. So all of your staff needs to, one, be inside and out on those top five procedures. But I would say also on the website, you know, like you said, maybe if we never do a brachioplasty, an arm lift or whatever, we never do that. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't do videos on that. But if we did, you know, breast aug, rhinoplasty, liposuction, tummy tuck
and mommy makeover, whatever.
We definitely need to have that.
You know, and I also think, and I talk to practices about this too, is when you go through websites, this whole idea of customizing things for the patient. So if I'm a breast aug patient or if I'm a facelift patient, you understand that I'm a different demographic, probably a different stage in life and different motivations, et cetera. Different calls to action are going to move me to action when I'm an 18 or a 25-year-old as opposed to a 55, 60-year-old that's getting ready, baby boomer that's getting ready to retire, whole different, completely different motivations and et cetera. So I do encourage, because I don't see this on a lot of practice websites, they don't have custom calls to action for the specific procedure or those patients that are on there. So you really should have custom calls to action for breast augmentation, as opposed to just schedule a consultation on every page. Customize it for your breast aug patients or for your, you know, tummy tuck patients or for your Brazilian butt lift patients, and have unique calls to action for those particular things, because those are the, as you said, it's the 80-20 rule. Invest in those 20% and you're going to end up reaping a lot more of the, you don't have to do it on every page.
Right.
Do it for the high priority things.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of value out of it.
I agree. I could not agree more with you on that. I mean, we know, again, statistically that while using the facelift and the breast aug is a very fast moving procedure. If you can't get them in within like 7 days, I think was the latest that I've seen, the chances of them, that, well, their no-show cancellation rate goes up, because they probably have already been in and seen another doctor, or maybe even scheduled with another doctor, but also their conversion rate goes down when they actually get there. But on the other hand, a facelift patient, you know, and it could be a lot of different things. It's your face. You know, if you mess up my breast, that stinks, but I put a shirt on, you know what I mean? If you mess up my face, that really stinks, because it's out there for everybody to see, right? So they got that in the first place. But so, you know, even if you had an opening for a facelift tomorrow, we know statistically that you're better off to put them out a couple of days, if not a couple of weeks, a week to 2 weeks, only because they, you know, and again, this is, we've done a lot of focus groups and we hear with them that they're like, whoa, push back. Wait a minute. Why do you have an appointment? Let's not be doing too, you know what I mean? And so, so absolutely. But yeah, on the website, what you're saying, I think that is actually, I haven't seen anyone that's doing that. So I think that is a incredible value if you can do different pages for at least your five.
I think it all goes back to what you said. Put yourself in the shoes of your prospects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not every prospect is the same for every prospect. And customize your experience for them, whether it's on a web page or whether it's on the phone or whether it's in the follow-up information or during the consult, is that you tailor those types of things because you know, for most breast augmentation patients, this is the demographics, this is the interest, these are the concerns. So you can customize some of those. It's anticipation. You have to anticipate what it is that these people are wanting, what are they fearful of, what are the barriers for those people, and you've got to, you know, already anticipate them and already taken steps to knock them down.
Right, right.
Before they get there,
yeah.
You know, because otherwise, now we're just like everybody else, and we stumble across, and we're not planning ahead, but I like the idea. Do you do a lot of, when you're talking with your practices, and say, you know, breast augmentation is, okay, my number one thing I want to do in breast augmentation. What do you do to make sure that those people, all the way from the receptionist, all the way through to the patient coordinator, patient counselors, that they're all speaking the same language, that they're, how do you get that so they're all on the same page?
So I like to do internal trainings or even, you know, webinar trainings or something like that. But basically, it goes back to the I know you experience, right? And so you have to have smooth passing of the baton, like we talked about. Now, once the patient actually gets there, I like morning meetings. I 100% hands down think that everybody needs to have a rally meeting in the morning. It can be 5 minutes, you know. Okay. I've been lucky enough to be a part of some really, really good ones. But basically, and I don't know, I was trying to think of it earlier today. I was doing a training and I'm just spacing on the term, but there's some kind of psychology term that when something is placed in our mind, we tend to react on what was placed in our mind. And so what I'm saying is, if we know that, you know, we've written down all the information, we know that Susie's coming in today, she's our 10 o'clock appointment, she is a facelift, she's getting, you know, going on a cruise or something like that, you know, something celebration or whatever, we tend to get excited for her without even realizing we're excited for her. If that makes sense.
So yeah, when she goes up, the unknown, just removing the unknown. When somebody comes in, the more you know about them,
absolutely,
it is to engage with them. But if you don't know anybody from Adam, but I love the idea of letting everybody know who this person is. We got her coming in at 10 o'clock. This is what she's, you know, wow, I think that's hugely valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, it gets everybody on the same page. It helps. We outwardly reflect what we've, so another thing, so I know I was at a practice one time and the person coming in was like, had been crying on the phone. She had just gotten divorced. Divorce is a huge reason why people come in and get surgery, but she was just really down in the dumps and really, you know, and so during that morning rally meeting, you know, it's our 11 o'clock is, you know, Susie, she's coming in. She was really emotional on the phone. She's probably going to be really emotional here. And what I saw with the practice, the outward reflection was there was a big empathy, you know, it was like they were giving her emotional, not physical, but emotional hugs. Yeah. It was very different than the lady going on a cruise, you know, that was all excited and, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? It's that outward reflection that I just think it's imperative. You know, again, we're talking about that I know you experience and when everybody's like, oh, well, you're, you know, you've got triplets. Well, it must be crazy around your house, you know? And, but it's, it just really makes them feel, going back to what I was saying at the very, very beginning, the restaurant, you know, are you getting your, you know, egg ranchero wrap? You know what I mean? And I'm like, yes. And I just feel so special. And, you know, they probably could care less, but, mm-hmm. you know, but it makes me feel special. So, yeah.
I think that's great. Well, let me ask Ashley, how can people get in touch with you? I'm going to be sharing your information with other you know, with other practices that may need some help in some of this stuff. If I run across them, how can I have them get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can call. Our number is 844-408-0008. They can email me directly at info@ashley-cloud.com. And they can also go to my website, but I don't love my website. I keep saying I need your expertise.
Talk about that then.
Right. I know you're the best out there. I'm not just saying that because we're here. You know, we've talked about it. We go way back. But so yeah, it's, and the website is www.ashley-cloud.com.
That sounds great. Well, Ashley, thank you again for all of your insights and for your time. I do envision us having, you know, additional conversations because we talked even before we got on the line today. There's so much you can be addressing in helping practices, and I think practices realize what they do is not easy. And I want to acknowledge what they do is not easy. It's a challenge, and it's why you need to have professionals helping them, because you know, at the end of the day, you know, an incremental increase, a 2%, 5%, 3% increase here and there over the course of time, do the math, and we are talking tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars, yeah. You know,
and that's all we're looking to do is those improvements that we can help practices with, even on the marketing side. I can, you know, increase it by this much, tweak it here, tweak it there, all of a sudden this practice is busier than it's ever been.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I would like to really quickly say that practices are, it is a hard job, you know, and the staff, and I applaud them all the time. I actually started out in the business as a patient coordinator for a three physician practice in Atlanta, turned into a long story, a practice administrator. And then I went into the consulting, but that's my favorite job I've ever had, honestly, was as a patient. Because I just love my patients, and you know, and I see so many great, great patient coordinators that are out there that are the same, and they just need a little bit of tweaking. You know, it's small steps, like you said. So yeah.
I can hear it in your voice because you still say our patients, even though you're talking from a consultant, you're talking about our patients.
I love. Yeah, I know, and now they're my practices. Yes. So they were my patients and now they're my practices. So anyway, yeah. So thank you so much for having me on today.
My pleasure. And I appreciate all your time and insights.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You bet. Have a great weekend and we will chat with you soon.
You too, Bill. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Ashley.
Thanks for joining us for the MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui. Join us next week for another dive into all things medical marketing. All episodes can be streamed at www.medsharkdigital.com/medshark-insider.